All right, perfect. Hello, everyone, and happy, happy Wednesday. I am going to start with a song. I've never listened to the song before. I have no idea what the song is going to say. I don't even know if it's aligned with our spiritual path. But when I was looking for a song, Anne was speaking, and she was talking about choice, and the name of the song is Song of Choice. It's by somebody named Peggy Seeger. It's from Folkways Years, 1955 to 1992, given to YouTube by Smithsonian Folkways Recordings. It's supposed to be songs of love and politics. So who knows what this song is going to be about, but what the heck, I like to play, and I'm playing. So we'll listen to this song, and then we'll find out if it has anything to do with the Tao today, or if it was just a fun song to listen to. So let me share my screen.
Early every year, the seeds are growing. Unseen, unheard, they lie beneath the ground. Would you know until their leaves are showing that with weeds all your garden will abound? If you close your eyes, stop your ears, hold your tongue, then how can you know? For seeds you cannot see may not be there, seeds you cannot hear may never grow.
In January you still got the choice. You can cut the weeds before they start to bud. If you leave them to grow high, they'll silence your voice. And in December, you may pay with your blood. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear. And later you can say you didn't know. Every day another vulture takes flight. There's another danger born every morning. In the darkness of your blindness, the beast will learn to bite. How can you fight if you can't recognize a warning? So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear. And later you can say you didn't know. Today you may earn a living wage. Tomorrow you may be on the dole. Though there's millions going hungry, you needn't disengage, for it's them, not you, that's fallen in the hole. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear. And later you can say you didn't know. Today the soldiers took away one. Tomorrow they may take away two. 1 April they took away Greece. But surely they will never take you. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear. And later you can say you didn't know. It's all right for you if you run with the pack. It's all right if you agree with all they do. If fascism is slowly climbing back, it's not here yet, so what's it got to do with you? So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear. And later you can say you didn't know. The weeds are all around us and they're growing. It will soon be too late for the night. If you leave them on the wind that around the world is blowing, you may pay for your silence with your life. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth and never dare. And if it happens here, they'll never come for you, because they'll know you really didn't care.
Well, that was kind of a fun song. I don't know if Lao Tzu would have written it, but it was a fun song. we'll see if it comes in today's teaching or not. But, you know, when I heard Anne talking about choice, I just typed in song of choice and that came up. So it was a lot of fun to listen to. Today, we're looking at the Tao. We're looking at chapter 21. And I am starting with Derek Lynn's version, which I typically do. Last week, I was different for some reason, but back to being normal today. So this is what Derek Lynn has. This is his translation of Lao Tzu's work. The appearance of great virtue follows only the Tao. The Tao, as a thing, seems indistinct, seems unclear. So unclear, so indistinct. Within it, there is image. So indistinct, so unclear. Within it, there is substance. So deep, so profound. Within it, there is essence. Its essence is supremely real. Within it, there is faith. From ancient times to the present, its name never departs. To observe the source of all things. How do I know the nature of the source? With this. So I am going to go ahead and read another. Nothing is coming to me right now, so I'm going to go ahead and read another one. I'm grabbing Dr. Wayne Dyer. Dr. Wayne Dyer's translation says, "The greatest virtue is to follow the Tao and the Tao alone. The Tao is elusive and intangible. Although formless and intangible, it gives rise to form. Although vague and elusive, it gives rise to shapes. Although dark and obscure, it is the spirit, the essence, the life breath of all things. Throughout the ages, its name has been preserved in order to recall the beginning of all things. How do I know the ways of all things at the beginning? I look inside myself and see what is within me." And I'll look at, where did he go? Stephen Mitchell, are you hiding? Oh, he's over here. Okay, let me look at Stephen Mitchell. His is a little different, which is not unusual. He says, "The master keeps her mind always at one with the Tao. That is what gives her radiance. The Tao is ungraspable. How can her mind be at one with it? Because she doesn't cling to ideas. The Tao is dark and unfathomable. How can it make her radiant? Because she lets it. Since before time and space were, the Tao is. It is beyond is and is not. How do I know this is true? I look inside myself and see." So I'm going to go back to Derek Lynn now after having read all three of them, and we'll look at Derek Lynn a little more slowly. The appearance of great virtue follows only the Tao. I don't really know what I want to say about that. This morning, I guess I'll start here. This morning, we had a business meeting here at the retreat house. Hal Seeley is here. And Hal Seeley is going to be our new chairman of the board starting on July 21st. So Hal Seeley was here to kind of get to know the organization in a different way than he did before. You know, now he wants to know it as the chairman of the board. And so we talked about a lot of things. But one of the things we talked about is the importance of guidance. Awakening Together was begun because of guidance. the Awakening Together retreat house was begun because of guidance. And what can happen in an organization, I would submit happens in most, if not all, organizations, is that at some point, the people running the organization abandon guidance and return to what I'm going to call their business minds. You know, so for example, right now our donations are negative 7,000 something for the year. Now, this does not mean we're in any financial trouble. We have a healthy balance sheet, but it means that this year so far we have spent 7,000 XXX, I don't remember what the numbers were following it, 7,000 some dollars more than we've taken in. So what can happen when a board of directors begins looking at numbers like that is the mind can immediately jump to, how can we get more money? Right? And in jumping to how can we get more money, guidance is completely forgotten. So we talked a lot about that this morning. And that's kind of what this... the beginning of this is reminding me of, especially I'm going to call Stephen Mitchell's translation, because he said, the master keeps her mind always at one with the Tao. Again, Derek Lynn says, the appearance of great virtue follows only the Tao. But I think it's important, and again, this is enlightened leadership, so it's appropriate that we're talking about as leaders, whether we're leaders of the retreat house, leaders of Awakening Together, or leaders of something else. I think it's important to remember that only great virtue, and we'll talk about what that might be next, great virtue can only come about if we keep our mind with the Tao, if we follow guidance, which means we have to be careful about being tempted to go into our business mind or our management mind or our problem-solving mind. Great virtue to me as well as you can define great virtue. I would define great virtue as whatever is in the highest interest of consciousness as a whole. And, you know, certainly a lot of businesses, even a lot of churches, are not really run for whatever is in the highest interest of consciousness as a whole. They end up being run for what's in the best interest of us, you know, you could call it our membership, for what's in the best interest of me, the person at the head of the church who wants to make more salary or whatever. Lots of times churches are managed in an attempt to make the church survive. But there's not necessarily a remembrance that the great virtue is whatever's in the best interest of consciousness. And, you know, this goes on to say, so unclear, so indistinct, within it there is image. Or the way that Wayne Dyer said that is, although formless and intangible, it gives rise to form. I think that people forget that the Tao is what's eternal and that the form comes and goes. And the best use of form is whatever is in the highest interest of consciousness, which means form isn't meant to be permanent. Form is meant to be temporary, to serve a specific purpose, and then to be let go. So if you make the mistake, for example, of deciding that the purpose of the board of directors or the purpose of the retreat house subcommittee is to make sure that this organization or this retreat house survives, you've allowed your mind to leave the Tao. I think it's fair to assume that the organization will survive as long as it's serving the greatest virtue. I think it's fair to assume that the retreat house will continue as long as it's serving the greatest virtue. I think it's also fair to assume neither one is eternal. Whatever has a beginning has an end. And so for however long this organization or this retreat house or anything else is meant to be here, it will survive for that length of time, assuming the leaders keep their mind with the Tao, follow guidance. So again, the appearance of great virtue follows only the Tao. The Tao as a thing seems indistinct and seems unclear. And we talked about that this morning as well in our business meeting. We talked about how the organization should always be run on guidance. The decisions should always be made with guidance. And then there was some discussion about it's difficult to know guidance. And it can be for some people difficult to know guidance. And so I gave some hints on what might be helpful. And I said, whenever there is fear in the decision, you know, you're making the decision because you're afraid of something, you're trying to prevent it. Whenever there is fear in the decision, that is not guidance. Whenever there is guilt or unworthiness in the decision, you know, you're making it because you feel guilty or unworthy if you don't do it that way, right? That is not guidance. And whenever there is judgment in the decision, that is not guidance. And I was asked, what is judgment? And, you know, what do you mean by judgment? And I said, judgment is still fear, guilt, and unworthiness. You're just projecting it onto someone or something else. So really, we can narrow it down to if there is fear, guilt, or unworthiness in your decision-making process, then you can know for a fact you're not following guidance. You might not know what your guidance is, but you can know to pause. You can know to step back. You can know to look at what is in your mind that is in the way of allowing guidance. My experience is that guidance only feels unclear and indistinct. And the Tao itself is unclear and indistinct always. You know, you can't reach out and grab the Tao. But guidance only feels unclear and indistinct to the degree that you have an attachment or a desired outcome, right? Or a fear. If you are as open as the Tao, if you are as indistinct and unclear as the Tao, I think guidance is then very clear and very distinct. I think you can just feel what to do in every moment. You know, A Course in Miracles says, God's voice speaks to me all through the day. I think that is absolutely true. You can be guided in every moment of your day as long as you keep your mind with the Tao. You are as indistinct and unclear as the Tao. The appearance of great virtue follows only the Tao. I want to talk about the word only for a moment. You know, only means only. So again, when we're leaders, and, you know, things came up, for example, the financial report shows a negative 7,000 for the year so far, which I want to say is really no big deal. I'm just using it as an example. But, you know, it says negative 7,000 for the year so far. And the business mind kicks in and there's discussion at a business meeting about how can we get more money, you know. For example, nobody's ever done this, so what I'm about to say, I am making up entirely. But let's imagine somebody says, well, you know, MPP, you know, we charge $20 a week for MPP. You know, so-and-so, you know, charges X number for their program, which is, you know, three times as much as ours. And, you know, it's been the same price ever since we started it back in 2013. This is now, you know, 6 years later. It's time we raise our prices, you know, but all that's coming from the business mind. And everybody else agrees, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's raise it $25 a week. That's not that much, but that will bring it. Yeah, that makes sense. That feels right. Okay, that's good. But that's not following only the Tao in that case because of the way the decision came about. Because there was no checking with guidance. There was just going into the business mind and thinking like business people. This says follow only the Tao. I mean, first of all, do we even know that being negative 7,000 so far this year is a problem? Does it need any of our attention? Do we have to discuss it at all? Where does our guidance want us putting our attention in this business meeting today? If we assume that there's a problem with negative 7,000, we are not being indistinct and unclear. The minute we make that decision, here is a problem, we are no longer indistinct and unclear, which means we are not like the Tao, which means we're not going to recognize the guidance of the Tao. It seems to me A Course in Miracles says something similar, although I can't pull it completely out of my brain. If somebody else can, once I share this, you know, feel free to tell us exactly what the Course says. But it seems like the Course says something, it might even be in the Rules of Decision section, about we have to be careful not to define the problem. Right? If we define the problem, we've already stepped out of the realm of right-mindedness, using the language of the Course, where we would recognize the guidance. Because we now say, this is the problem, therefore, the guidance we're looking for has to solve that problem. Right?
And that's why we think we can't hear guidance.
And that's why we think we can't hear guidance. So Jacqueline just walked in, so I'm just going to fill her in a little bit. She totally forgot she's supposed to be here.
I said, you're teaching at 1.
No, you are.
Well, I know. Oh. Anyway, yes, I was confused on the time.
Okay, time and confusion. But we also have Hal here. I just figured she was up there doing stuff.
So go ahead.
I was teasing her about the forgetting she's supposed to be here part. But I'm reading from chapter 21. And it says, the appearance of great virtue follows only the Tao. So what I've defined great virtue as is whatever serves the highest needs of consciousness. Right? That's great virtue. Not whatever serves the highest needs of me, not whatever serves the highest needs of awakening together even. It's whatever serves the highest needs of consciousness. And now it goes on to say, the Tao as a thing seems indistinct and seems unclear. So what I'm talking about is, in order to know that whatever that great virtue is, the guidance of that great virtue, whatever serves the highest needs of consciousness, we have to be indistinct and unclear like the Tao, right? So you're caught up now. So if we have ideas like we're not supposed to have negative 7,000 at this point in the year, how do we solve this? We're no longer indistinct and unclear. Unclear here means to me, indistinct. It's another way of saying indistinct, right? We're no longer indistinct and unclear because now we have something very distinct in our minds.
Yes.
Right? So that's where I am. Another thing I've been emphasizing is the word only here follows only the Tao, which means it doesn't follow our business minds, right? So the appearance of great virtue follows only the Tao. The Tao as a thing seems indistinct, seems unclear. Next it continues, so unclear, so indistinct, within it there is image. I'm going to go look at what the others say in just a moment because they word that a little different. But I remember when this aha hit me. And I don't remember like the date or the year or anything. It's more I remember the experience of the aha hitting me. That the absolute had to be nothing. Some people are really afraid of that word, nothing. You know, that scares the Jesus out of them. But it hit me that it had to be nothing because if it was something, nothing could arise in it, right? I mean, I have to have space just to move my cup from here to here. If there was a bunch of stuff there, a rock there, a wall there, you know, I couldn't move my cup. It would be blocked. So it hit me once that the absolute has to be nothing in order for the appearance of things to arise. Otherwise, there would. Otherwise, if listen to this statement. I don't think Microsoft Word would like it, but listen to this statement. If the Tao wasn't nothing, there couldn't be anything. If the Tao wasn't nothing, there would only be nothing. How's that for a sentence? So the Tao, the absolute, has to be nothing. And so what this is saying, so unclear, so indistinct, within it there is image. Right? Because it is nothing, it allows everything. So let's just look at, again, how Wayne Dyer said that same thing. I think he said it a little differently. He says, although formless and intangible, it gives rise to form. So really the same thing, just worded a little differently. And Stephen says, okay, so Stephen's approaching this differently, but we're gonna look at what Stephen is saying. These two are probably a more pure translation. Stephen often takes a little more creative license with his translation, but that doesn't mean he's worth ignoring. Listen to what he says. The Tao is ungraspable. How can her mind, and he means the master, he goes back and forth between his and her when he refers to the master. How can her mind be at one with it? Because she doesn't cling to ideas. So again, he's saying what we've already discussed, that we have to be as indistinct and unclear as the Tao. We have to be the nothing. So we talked about a moment ago that the Tao has to be nothing in order for things to arise. So he's saying the master has to be nothing in order for the greatest virtue to arise through her. Right? If she's not, if she's blocking it with something, then the greatest virtue cannot arise through her. Yeah, sure. Yeah, Cheryl.
So just give us some examples of how one blocks that.
Okay. So we did this a little bit before you came down, so this will be a review for everyone else.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, it's okay. Cheryl said, give us some examples of how one would block that. And a perfect example is defining the problem. When you even thinking you know what the problem is, blocks the Tao. So for example, right now, Awakening Together has made negative 7,000 this year, which means we have taken in 7,000 less than we have spent, right? So if we decide that's a problem, then the next thing we're going to do is start thinking, how can we make more money or spend less money? We're not open to the guidance. You know, what if, first of all, I've told them negative 7,000 is not a problem. We're financially healthy right now. It's not a problem. But what if it was a problem? You know, what if we weren't financially healthy and this isn't, you know, the way you want to go if you want to save the organization? Who says even thinking that the organization is supposed to be saved is an assumption? Maybe consciousness is done with this organization now. So every time you define the problem, you're no longer indistinct and empty, right? Mm-hmm. And you're now cutting off the guidance of the Tao. Yeah. So
that's where trust comes in. I'm sorry. That just immediately.
Can you guys hear Cheryl when she talks, or should I repeat her? You can stay there. They can't hear you. So she says, so that's where trust comes in. Go ahead.
Well, just immediately, I just know that I totally relate, and I felt the truth come through you.
Okay, she says, immediately, I totally relate. I felt the truth come through you.
And then immediately, the next feeling was trust.
And then immediately, the next feeling was trust.
Whatever may be.
whatever may come, whatever may be. And that's key. You know, so again, if we make a decision that the retreat house is supposed to survive, there aren't enough people coming, we need to start advertising all over the place. They're still not coming. We need to cut expenses. You know, we're going through all this problem solving stuff. We're not accepting the possibility that consciousness has done what it wanted to do with the retreat house, and it was now time for it to end. Everything that has a beginning has an end. And the greatest virtue is whatever is serving the highest good of consciousness. So, you know, I think later in the Tao, I don't think we've gotten to this point yet, but in the Tao, it talks about how organizations come into being and organizations go out of being, right? And that's the rhythm of the Tao. So if you're following the Tao, it comes into being at the right time to serve the highest good of consciousness. But at some point, that need has been served. And if you're still following the Tao, not following your head and trying to save an organization that you're attached to, right, it may go back out of being.
Because what you're saying is, we know better.
We think we know better.
You know, that's, and then we have to do this and have to do that.
Well, and what also happens is the organization actually becomes an extension of our own ego.
Right.
Right. And we want to survive, therefore we want the organization to survive. And that's not, and what this is saying is that you have to have nothing in your mind in order to stay, keep your mind with the Tao and follow guidance perfectly. So it's really something for us to watch is, are we defining problems? How do we know it's not perfect? In fact, if your mind is aligned with the Tao, it is going to be perfect always. Whatever is happening is perfect. So as soon as you start defining problems, you've left the Tao. And I'm just going to go to my Seven Steps journal, because I wrote about some problems this week. And it's come to my mind four times to go there, and I was kind of saying no, but I think we will, because it keeps coming back. It won't go away. You know, it's not allowing itself to be forgotten. So let me share my screen. All right, so I was contemplating quote 1,035. I don't have the seven steps with me down here. It's probably even back at the condo. So let me just read the contemplation. Believing I am mind, these thoughts that come and go, is the problem. Because mind presents problems, one after another, in an ongoing parade of problems. If my attention is focused on solving the problems that arise in mind, if that is what I live, it means I want to be a problem solver. So consciousness gives me more problems to solve, one after another, in an ongoing parade of problems. Unending problem solving is not joy, it's sorrow. Wholehearted, single-minded focus on self-knowledge is joy. That's the same as keeping your mind with the Tao, right? Wholehearted, single-minded. Notice single-minded is the same as that word only, right? Wholehearted, single-minded focus on self-knowledge is joy. Because in that, everything else is forgotten, and the word forgotten is divined here. Not thought about is a problem. You know, if I'm walking around thinking about that negative 7,000, I think it's a problem. But if I see it, notice it, and go on, right, it's not a problem. So when I keep my mind with the Tao, I'm not keeping my mind with the negative 7,000. So single-minded focus on self-knowledge is joy, because in that, everything else is forgotten. Everything except keeping my mind with self-knowledge, you see? Everything else is forgotten and allowed or loved as it is. So you see, everything is perfect. If negative 7,000 is not a problem, and if something happens to appear in my mind about doing something and that happens to result in more money, that happens to clear up that negative 7,000, if I had forgotten about it and I was seeing everything as perfect, I know that idea didn't come from me. You see? Mm-hmm. Consciousness was like, to serve the highest good, you know, let's resolve this. But if I'm walking around thinking about it and I have an idea, do I know that that came from consciousness, or is it possible that came from me? Yeah. So wholehearted, single-minded focus on self-knowledge is joy, because in that, everything else is forgotten or not thought about as a problem and allowed or loved as it is. When everything else is forgotten, there is being, right? Just being in the moment. When everything else is forgotten, there is being. Being is joy. When everything else is allowed, there is freedom. Freedom is joy too. I think there may have been a little more to this, so let's look forward and see if I can find a little more.
So I have another question about the Tao. Is the Tao actually the middle way? Is that?
No, the Tao would be the same as the absolute. It means the way, but not the middle way. Yeah, that would be something different. Okay, so looking at 1036, mind sees problems now. So mind thinks happiness lies in becoming different in the future, right? It has to be different than it is. I just put some examples: becoming retired, becoming free of a relationship, becoming thinner, becoming stronger, becoming richer, becoming one who lives in a different place, becoming adored and sought after. And then I laughed. You can see that in the journal. It says, ha ha. But listen to this part. But if all of that becomes, new problems will simply become of that. Mind sees problems now. And if I give attention to mind's problems, it means that I want to be the problem solver. So consciousness will give me new problems to think about and solve, a never-ending parade of problems. But if I forget everything except self-knowledge, allow everything to be as it is, while I focus solely, that's also like the word only, isn't it? While I focus solely on self-knowledge, I love this next two lines of this particular contemplation. Let me start over a bit. I want to emphasize these next two lines, the last two lines. But if I forget everything except self-knowledge, allow everything to be as it is while I focus solely on self-knowledge, consciousness will hear my call for self-knowledge and gently surrender to that. Love cannot say no to a call for love. It is certain that if I really live it, consciousness will give it, even if it means awakening from consciousness itself. If I really live it. So that's the question. What am I really living? Right? What am I really living? Let's see if there's any more to this contemplation. I think that shifts a little bit. So we'll stop there. I do remember that in my journal earlier, there's this line. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. You either live what you want or you get what you live. Right? So I either live what I want, which is focusing solely on self-knowledge, or I get what I live. And in this example, ongoing problems because I'm a problem solver. So I'll stop sharing.
It's actually very simple.
Okay, come over here and talk so they can hear you. That's all you want to say? Okay. She says it's actually very simple what you just said. Yeah, I love that line. You either live what you get or you get what you live. Yeah. So, and Jay is saying that we all agreed up front years ago when we were starting awakening together that we would let it go when it was time and not remain attached. So again, the appearance of great virtue follows only the Tao. The Tao as a thing seems indistinct, seems unclear. So unclear, so indistinct, within it there is image. So this is where we were back to the point that the Tao, like the absolute, has to be nothing, or else nothing could arise in it. And of course, remember, Stephen Mitchell applied that to you have to be nothing in order for the greatest virtue to arise in you. Otherwise, you block it. It continues, so indistinct, so unclear, within it there is substance. And Wayne Dyer says, although vague and elusive, it gives rise to shapes. So I'm not getting anything that makes that really much different than the line before, right? It gives rise to form. So I'm just going to move on. So deep, so profound, within it there is essence. And Wayne Dyer says, although dark and obscure, it is the spirit, the essence, the life breath of all things. So what I'm getting from this is that the Tao allows consciousness. In fact, later when we get, later as we go further in the Tao, we're going to get to a verse that says something like one made two made three made four, and four made all things, something like that. One would be the Tao or the absolute. And it's because of one, the Tao or the absolute, that consciousness could come into existence. And consciousness is the essence of all things. It's the life awareness of all things, or as this Tao is saying, the life breath. So again, in order for consciousness to be, in order for the creative principle to be, in order for the world to be, or at least to appear to be, the absolute has to be nothing. Mirroring that, in order for the greatest virtue to arise through us, we have to be nothing. There's a line in the Bible that says, be the imitators of God. If the Tao is nothing, we want to be the imitators of God by also being nothing. And then what's amazing can come through us. Actually, a thought just came to mind, so I'll take a drink and then I'll share this thought. It has to do with the song that we played at the beginning, which I loved. But what I heard in the song was a little sarcasm. You know, she was telling you that you can, you know, cover your ears, cover your eyes, not know what's going on, stick with the crowd, stay out of everything. And then when all these bad things happen in the world because you didn't get involved, you could say, I didn't know. And really what she was saying through that sarcasm is get out there, get involved, you know, become politically involved, become a protester, you know, whatever. That's what she was saying. So a lot of people would agree with that. In fact, I'll whisper this because not everybody even wants to hear it. Marianne Williamson is running for president. And I bet you a dollar a lot of people get behind her just because she's from the Course community. You know, like, they want somebody who thinks like me to be president. But is that empty? It's attachment. Everybody likes somebody who thinks like me. Now, if you had no desires and you felt to go to the, this happened to me once, let me tell you a story. I don't know if Jacqueline was with me or not. Somebody was with me. It was many years ago. If you were with me, it would have been when you lived here the first time, but it might've been Danielle. But, local elections. I mean, I pay zero attention to local elections. Zero. So it was a local election season. I have no idea who's running, what offices are open. I mean, nothing. I'm as empty as you can be about local elections, right? I'm driving down the street, going towards my house. We pass Walmart. I happen to glance over and, you know, they're standing on the corner like they often do with local elections, holding up the sign with this guy's name on it. And whoever was with me even read the name. And I don't remember what the name was now. Let's say George Carlos. They go, oh, look, you know, George Carlos or something, which means it kind of made an impression in my mind, right? But I still forgot about it. I didn't think anything about George Carlos, but it was there. somewhere in the brain. Like about a month later, a ballot came in the mailbox, because that's how they do it in Colorado. They actually mail you your ballot and you mail it back, which most of us think is crazy, but that's how they do it. So a ballot came in the mailbox, and I don't get involved in local elections at all. So I started to throw the ballot immediately into the trash. And just before I opened my hand and let it fall in the trash, very clearly, I felt open it. So I bring it back. I open the ballot. My eyes start scanning the ballot, and I see the name George Carlos. And I feel very clearly, mark it. It's the only thing I marked on the ballot. You know, put it back in the little envelope you're supposed to put it in, put it back in the mail, and I voted for George Carlos. I don't even know if he won. But you see, that's empty. There's no way that vote for George Carlos came from my opinions, what I wanted, what not even what he thought compared to what I thought. You see? But yet voting still happened. And I assume that marking that vote for George Carlos for whatever reason was the greatest virtue, served the highest needs of consciousness, but I don't even know what came of it. Do I need to know what came of it? No. So we have to be really careful. You know, if we are in love with, you know, Marianne Williamson running because she's a core student and I'm a core student and blah, 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 I'm not empty. I'm not even empty if I'm happy with somebody else running because they're an environmentalist and I'm an environmentalist. Or if I'm against Donald Trump because he thinks this way and I think this way. I'm still not empty. You know, empty is none of that. Can you do me a favor? Mm-hmm. Can you, I think we probably have A Course in Miracles on the bookshelf. Can you bring it to me? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter which version.
Even the sparkly?
Yeah, sparkly is fine.
I think what I'm going to do, I think I mentioned this before, I'll just bring down one of my books because I have two.
So let me open up. I won't tell you where I'm going because then you'll know exactly. You may already know exactly where I'm going. We'll see. I'm going to try and surprise you, but I might not get away with it. This is kind of obvious. Simply do this. Okay, but listen. Simply do this. By the way, it sounds kind of like only again, doesn't it? Simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are. We'll just pause there for a moment. So if I like Marianne Williamson because I'm a core student and she's a core student, have I laid aside all thoughts of what I am?
No.
No. I'm identified with something, aren't I? Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. I can't even have thoughts of what God might want politically.
Which is, that's a joke. Funny anyway.
Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is. All concepts you have learned about the world. Imagine that. Lay aside all concepts you've learned about the world. So, I mean, isn't it a concept that that we need to recycle? Didn't you learn that somewhere?
Yes.
You know, we could go on all day, right? We could go on all day. This says, lay aside all concepts you've learned about the world. All images you hold about yourself. So, you know, we're talking political now. So Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, whatever else there is out there, Independent. Lay aside all images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind. Oh, my God, listen to this one. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false. That's pretty much everything. You know, Jacqueline, are these walls true or false? These walls are green.
False.
False, but she has to let go of that now because guess what? It's true or false. Right? I mean, that's so inclusive. It's ridiculous. The mind can't even think about how inclusive that is. That means let go of everything, right? Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, good or bad. of every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. If you hold on to nothing, you are nothing, right? You're that emptiness of the Tao. Do you agree? Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned from anything. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with holy, empty hands unto your God. That's what this chapter of the Tao is saying. And if you do that, then the greatest virtue can arise through you. And who knows, you might be guided to take a ballot, mark a name. Because that can still happen. But it's coming from the Tao. It's coming from the greatest virtue for consciousness. It's coming from the right mind of consciousness. It's not coming from you. And you, if you'd had your own ideas, might not have marked that. Right? You would have marked something else or not marked at all because spiritual people don't vote. Whatever thought was in your mind that blocked that. So unclear, so indistinct, within it there is image. So indistinct, so unclear, within it there is substance. So deep, so profound, within it there is essence. Essence being consciousness. Consciousness can arise, and consciousness can become anything that it needs to, whatever is in the best interest of all of consciousness, because the Tao is empty, and that can arise through us when we imitate God by being as empty as the Tao. Its essence is supremely real. Within it, there is faith. Let's look and see how this is translated over here. It's not. Let's see if he has anything like that. Let me go ahead and finish this because they're so different. I think I just need to read the whole last paragraph at a time. I don't think I can break it up that small because they're just not the same. So Derek Lynn says, its essence is supremely real. Within it, there is faith. That particular line, neither Wayne Dyer nor Stephen Mitchell has. The next thing that he has is what they have. So they have skipped that entirely. And I got to admit, I'm not 100% certain what this means. Within it, there is faith. Trust, I would have understood better. And maybe faith and trust are synonymous here. I'm not sure. But if this had said its essence is supremely real, within it, there is trust, then I would understand that the master is not worried about being nothing, is not worried that, basically the ego has this thought in the mind. If I am nothing, if I don't have any ideas, good can't be, right? It needs me and my ideas for good to happen. That would be a lack of trust, or maybe it means a lack of faith. Yes.
I read in the Bhagavad Gita this morning on that very thing. Faith is actually translated into devotion.
Okay, so she said this morning she read that faith is devotion. So let's just go with that for a moment because that works too. If faith means devotion here, its essence is supremely real. Within it, there is devotion. That would mean you could be devoted to the Tao, which means, again, it's your single-minded focus. So whether we translate faith as devotion or whether we translate faith as trust, it means that because it is supremely real, we can be empty. We don't have to worry that we need to take things into our own hands, right? It's supremely real. Therefore, it can be trusted. Therefore, we can be devoted to it, right? So again, no one else had those lines, but its essence is supremely real. Within it, there is faith. And then the last part says, from ancient times to the present, its name never departs. To observe the source of all things. How do I know the nature of the source? And this one just says, with this. But we know that both Wayne Dyer and Stephen Mitchell translated that is, I looked inside myself and it's within me. So what they're saying is that the Tao is eternal. So not only can it be trusted now, but it can be trusted in all times. It's eternal. It's safe to become nothing and to remain as nothing. And then the question is, how do I know this? Because when I went within, this is what I found there. And I got to say, the same thing is true for me. You know, when I started this spiritual path, I was ignorant to all of this spirituality. I didn't know anything. I was so ignorant, I can't even describe how ignorant I was. I'd never even heard the word manifestation in my lifetime. I mean, I was just as ignorant can be. And so when I sat down and wrote NTI, I didn't know about all these different spiritual paths. I didn't know anything about all these different spiritual paths. I'd read the course. I knew the course. That was it. But when I started writing NTI 1 Corinthians without knowing a thing about the Tao, there was this distinct feeling that the, I heard, it was all, ultimately one consciousness, but it seemed to come, NTI seemed to come in different voices, like different personalities even when I received it. And NTI 1 Corinthians, I knew came from the Tao, even though I had no idea what the Tao was. I knew that this was coming from the Tao. You know, whether we call that Lao Tzu or what, I don't know. I probably didn't even know the word Lao Tzu then. But do you know what NTI 1 Corinthians is? That's the book of NTI that teaches about being the empty shell. So when Lao Tzu says, I learned about being empty because I looked within, that's where I learned about being empty. I didn't learn it from a book. I looked within. And when I looked within, this whole book got written about becoming the empty shell. So this knowledge is inherent knowledge. And that's why, a while ago, Cheryl said to me, I heard you speak truth. How does she know I'm speaking truth? Because it's in her too. And she got the inner recognition that this is truth, right? She's not blindly believing me. She felt that inner confirmation. So with that, my time is up. And you're going to teach on your computer, I guess. So what I will do is just type in a title for you and let go of the mic. Thank you.